Thank you, guys. And thank you all for participating in worship today. Those of you who are in person, those of you who are online, thank you for worshiping with us. We are actually in part three of a three-part message series that we are calling North Star. And this message series is all about, in a word, righteousness. And I know righteousness is a very churchy word, isn't it? But really, righteousness just means a right way, a right approach to life. And that's what we're looking for. This is something that we believe in as a church, that there is such a thing as a right approach to life. And it's never been easier to get lost in this world. So many voices, so many people telling us this is right. No, that is wrong. No, this is right. So many people telling us what we should be fighting for, what we should be fighting against. So many people telling us what we should believe and what we should pursue in life and what we should value and what our priorities should be. And we need to clear out all this confusion and find a source of consistency showing us what is the righteous path. And everyone was super shocked the first Sunday of the series when I said that the Bible is our North Star. Everybody was super shocked by that, right? The Bible is our North Star. Let me clarify what I mean by that. I'm not saying that, like, for those of us who are Christians, the Bible's our North Star. It's bigger than that. Is that this book, this is a revelation from God. God is revealing himself to humankind. Think of it this way. If you were God, and you're not, but if you were God, how would you show your creation how to live, what to value, what to prioritize? I mean, think about that. If you were God, how would you instruct, I mean, more than instruct, but guide and protect the people that you have created? How would you do it? Would you start a blog? Would you make a series of videos on YouTube? I mean, what would you do? Well, this is what God has done for us. And it's not just for Christians, it's for all of us, the way that we can figure out, well, what is the righteous path? What should we pursue? What should we value? What should we prioritize? And so we have a North Star in the Bible, in the Word of God. I grew up in a Christian church. I was forced to go to church as a kid because that's how it works when you're a kid, right? Right, kid? Right? You're forced to go. Your parents take, yeah, hi, that's my daughter raising her hand. Yeah, that's how that works. When you're a kid, you go to church because your parents make you, right? It's very rare that a kid would say, can we please take me to church today? Maybe it happens. And so I grew up in a church, and I was taught from the Bible, and I was taught stories from the Bible, and I was taught about the Bible in a church setting, and I was taught that the Bible is the Word of God, whatever that means. I was taught that the Bible is the Word of God, but as a kid and as a teenager, I really didn't read the Bible all that much, or like at all, right? I remember one occasion, I was 11, maybe 12, and someone had given me a copy of John. You know, John's one of the books in the Bible. It's one of the biographies of the life of Jesus, and somebody had given me a gospel. We call it a gospel, the Gospel of John. And so I'm 11 or 12, and I open it up, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I said, okay, I'm going to put that down. That doesn't make any sense. Let's move on. God, do I get any credit for trying? Because that made no sense, but I tried, right? And it's difficult, I mean, to sit down, especially when you're young, and try to make sense of all this. And I don't think that's not a fair expectation, by the way, right? For a 12-year-old or even a 13-year-old or maybe even an adult to sit down and try to figure it out. Try to figure this out on your own with no guidance, with no help. And so I put the book of John down, and I went about my life. And later on, when I was 18, I decided, okay, I'm gonna check this thing out. I'm going to read the Bible. So that's what I decided. I'm going to read the Bible for myself. Grew up in a church setting, taught it was important, taught it was the Word of God. Would later understand that means it's God's revelation to us. This is God revealing himself to us and how we should live. I'm like, okay, let me try this thing out. And I said, okay, this is a really, really big book with very small print. So maybe just try the New Testament. Let me try the New Testament, okay? So the Bible's divided into two main sections, Old Testament, New Testament. Let me try to read the New Testament. New Testament picks up with the story of Jesus, right? First four books in the New Testament are all biographies of the life of Jesus. Okay, let me start with the New Testament. New Testament's kind of big. All right, let's scale it back, right? Let's scale it back. Let me just try the first four books of the New Testament, just the Gospels, just the biographies of Jesus. Let's start there. I'm like, okay, let's scale this back maybe a little bit more. Let's start one book at a time. How about that? That seemed more manageable. When I looked at one book, I said, I can do that. So I started with the book of Matthew. It's the first of the four biographies of the life of Jesus. And it took me a very long time to make my way through Matthew. I was doing it by myself, not part of a Bible study, just me and a Bible reading the book of Matthew. And it was a milestone experience in my life. It was a milestone experience. Up to this point, I had been taught about Jesus, and I had heard other people tell me what Jesus said, and I'd had other people explain to me what Jesus did and why it was important. But this was the first time that I'm reading the words of Jesus for myself, and it's just different. It's different when it's just you and the Bible. Now, the Jesus I read about in the Gospel of Matthew was a dynamic Jesus. This Jesus was, I liked this Jesus that I read about in Matthew. You know, the Jesus that I met in the context of church was loving and was gentle. And this Jesus was all those things too, but he was also bold and courageous and fearless. And I felt like the Jesus that I was presented, I mean, the Jesus as he was explained to me in a church setting by Sunday school teachers and by pastors was kind of two-dimensional. But then you read about Jesus for yourself and all these dimensions are filled out. And by the way, that's nobody's fault. I'm not saying, well, I grew up in a bad church and they didn't teach me. Well, no. It's just different when you're reading it for yourself. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about. You've had milestone experiences like that in your faith journey. In fact, in 2019, you guys remember 2019? The good old days, right? When I could see your faces. Remember that, 2019, right? The good old days. Some of you in 2019, you read the Bible all the way through in chronological order for the first time ever. That was a milestone event for so many of you. You read it for yourself. Did you understand it all? Let's be honest. We didn't understand it all. But more, a deeper understanding, getting alone with that Word of God, reading it for yourself. That's a milestone experience, okay? Maybe not the most profound, but maybe it was. We have these milestone experiences along our faith journey, and one of those milestones is being able to read the Word of God for ourselves. There's so many reasons why. Listen, for those of us who are Christians, those of us who would actually say that we believe the Bible is the Word of God. So the question is, if you believe it, have you read it? Well, I haven't read it, but I believe it. Well, if you believe that's what it is, we should read it, shouldn't we? I mean, just logically, if we believe that this is God's revelation to us, we should be reading it, we should be studying it, we should be spending time with it on a regular, if not daily, basis. But why don't we? Well, there are lots of reasons why we don't. Lots of reasons that make sense. I'm not even saying excuses. I'm saying there are reasons why we don't. One of the reasons is it's difficult to understand, right? How many of us, it's a common experience for us Christians, how many of us say, yeah, I'm going to do it. Where should I start? Well, why not the beginning? So you start in the book of Genesis, and you're doing pretty well through the book of Genesis, right? Because you've heard some of these stories before. It's Adam and Eve. I know about Adam and Eve. And then you read about Noah. Noah and the ark. I remember that from, you know, as a kid, I had a little Noah play set, and I remember Noah and the ark. And you keep reading. You read about Abraham. You get to Exodus. You read about Moses. He's like, I know this stuff. So you make your way through Genesis. You make your way through Exodus. And then you get to Leviticus. And the wheels come off. Wait a minute, what happened here? Right? All of a sudden, there's a change. So far, you're reading a story. Yeah, it's history, but it's also a story. There's a narrative. There are characters. You're watching a progression. And then we get to Leviticus, and something has changed. Now we're reading a book filled with laws, and we think to ourselves, what does this have to do with me? And so we bail so often. I mean, people have done that. Maybe this is your story, but we bail on it because it's difficult to understand. It is difficult to understand. Not just comprehend what we're reading, but to understand what this collection of texts is and how it should be used. We need this explained, not just for comprehension, but to understand what this collection of books is. It's different. There are 66 books in here, and they're not all the same type of literature. And we need to know that going into it. And so we need to have this book explained to us. If only, goodness gracious, if only Jesus would have given us some kind of way to help us understand the Bible. If only he would have created for us, I don't know, like a community of believers where we could gather together and ask questions of one another and maybe learn from teachers, maybe some kind of like pastor or something like that. I don't know. If only he would have given us some way to learn the Bible. And of course, he has. That's what church is. That's one of the functions of church, is we are supposed to help one another on our quest to understand what the Bible is and what the Bible has to say. Take a look at that scripture passage that Ruth read for us from the book of Acts. Okay? And to give you some context here, this is in the New Testament, so this is after the crucifixion of Jesus, after the resurrection of Jesus, after the ascension back to heaven of Jesus. And so there's a man we meet here named Philip. There's a couple Philips that we meet in the New Testament. Actually, you know, in our New Testament of our Bible, there's Philip the disciple. There's Philip, sometimes just called Philip the evangelist. There's a question of which Philip was this. It's probably Philip the evangelist. Doesn't matter that much. I'm not sure. And so here's a follower of Jesus named Philip. And he has this experience with an Ethiopian man. And so we meet this Ethiopian man. We don't know too much about him. But this Ethiopian man, he has some kind of status. I mean, he works for the Queen of Ethiopia. He's in charge of the treasury, so he's got a high position there. So there he is, and God orchestrates this encounter. Do you know that God does that? He orchestrates conversations. He orchestrates encounters. And so this man has this encounter. So Philip has this encounter with this Ethiopian man, and this man is reading from the book of Isaiah. He got himself a copy of the book of Isaiah. This is an Ethiopian man, went to Jerusalem to worship the God of the Jews. Why? We don't know exactly why. But he gets his hands on what we would call part of our Bible, right? One of the books of the Bible. And so he's reading it. And Philip says to him, hey, you know, we're strangers, but just a quick question. Do you understand what you're reading? And the guy's like, no. I have no idea what I'm reading. How can I, look at your text, how can I understand this unless someone explains it to me? I need someone to explain this to me. And that's what we all need. We need it explained. We need to help. We need to help one another. If you understand, to share that knowledge with somebody else, we need to have it explained to us. Again, that's part of the function of the church, is to help one another in understanding. Not just reading, but understanding what Scripture has to say to help explain to one another. And so this leads to a wonderful, fruitful conversation. And the Ethiopian man, he asks a question. He's like, okay, I'm reading this book of Isaiah, and I'm reading about a Messiah that is to come, and I'm trying to figure out, is Isaiah writing about himself? And Philip's like, excellent question. No, he's not. He's writing about Jesus. In fact, Jesus has already come into this world. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose from the dead. He's ascended into heaven. And so he makes this case for like what God has done. This Ethiopian man says, wow, you know, and he wants to believe. And if you read on the book of Acts, he's actually baptized. He says, look, there's some water there. Can I be baptized? I believe all this. And he's baptized right there on the spot. And so once it's explained, then it can be understood. And once it's understood, then it can be lived out. Once it's explained, it can be understood. And once it's understood, then it can be lived out. And that's what really matters, being able to live it out. And so as your pastor, as the pastor of Hope Community Church, it is my job, it's one of my responsibilities, it's my job to help you understand not just what the Bible says, but how the Bible works. And I want to provide you with some tools to help you keep on that right path, find that path of righteousness, to have sure footing on the path of righteousness. So I want to encourage you to take a look, if you have a bulletin with you, take a look at the back of your bulletin. This is also on the digital bulletin, so if you've got a copy of that in your email. And so take a look at this. I want to provide you with some instruction on how to read this book. Take a look. Step one, pray. Pray for revelation. I know that sounds big. Maybe a little, pray for revelation. Just pray that God will reveal truth himself to you. Start with prayer. All right? That's one of the things that sometimes we skip as believers. Some of you use the YouVersion Bible app, and if you do the little daily devotional on that, it always encourages you to stop first. Take a moment, pray, and then move on. That's important. Pray, ask God, help me understand this, God. Help me understand this. Start with the text. Just point two. Start with the text, not an agenda, right? So this is the difference. You ready for some terminology? This is the difference between exegesis and eisegesis. Have you heard those words? First time I heard that, I'm like, what kind of Jesus are you talking about? Exegesis, eisegesis? Exegesis means you start with a text, and you're trying to figure out, what does this text mean? Eisegesis is you start with a point, a perspective, a worldview, an agenda, and then you try to find biblical passages to support your previously existing worldview, okay? And so it's exegesis versus eisegesis. Now, that might seem like a simple thing, but here's the reality. Every single one of us, we all have a bias, right? And we have to try to the best of our ability to be objective when we read Scripture, because you are going to read some things, right? And those of you who have read through the Bible, you know this. You're going to read some things that you don't like that make you uncomfortable. And you're going to want to push back. I mean, I'm speaking personally. I want to push back against some of the concept I've come up against in Scripture. It's like, okay, let me be objective about this. Sometimes Jesus says some things that are harsh. And people like me, preachers, we want to tone it down a little bit. We want to kind of sand off the rough edges. Like, well, if he's saying something harsh, just let it be harsh. Let it be harsh. I don't have to rationalize it. I don't have to try to sanitize it or sand it down. Just let it be what it is. Let it be what it is. So start with the text. Not, well, I'm trying to prove a point. Let me find some passages. But start with the text. Point three here. Err on the side of literal interpretation, seeking the literal meaning, okay? And so again, reading through the book of Genesis, you read about Noah and the ark. It's like, well, did this really happen? Or is this just kind of like a story that helps illustrate a point? It's like, well, err on the side of reading it literally. And so some people, they read the Bible and they ask the question, why should we take this specific passage, this specific story? Why should we take this literally? And I say the better question is, why can't we take this literally? Okay? On Tuesday evenings, we're doing our Revelation study, and that is it's a really difficult book to apply this principle to, erring on the side of literal. There's so much figurative talk. There's so much symbolism in there. I'm trying to figure out, okay, what's figurative versus what's literal. It's very difficult to navigate our way through this. But to err on the side of taking things literally, that's a real challenge. I was talking with the pastor years and years ago. We were talking about this thing in Revelation where it tells us that Jesus comes back for a 1,000-year reign on the earth. And he said, well, he doesn't take that literally. I said, well, why not? He's like, well, I just don't think that's literal. It's probably just a period of time, or maybe we're living in that time period now, and you know, we can't take the Bible too literally. I said, well, I don't see why we can't take that literally. And then he referred to another passage of Scripture where Jesus says, well, Jesus also says that we should cut off our hands. I mean, are we going to take that literally? Well, hang on. We got to look for the literal meaning. Jesus in that passage says that it's better to go through life missing a limb than to be thrown into hell. And that is literally true, isn't it? It's like, oh, okay. So sometimes in our pursuit of literal, we can fall into the trap of literalistic, which, okay, that's a whole other thing. But just err on the side of reading the Bible literally. Why? Ask the question, well, why can't we take this literally? If it says 1,000 years, why can't that mean literal 1,000 years? All right, next point. Acknowledge the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, okay? Because there's a big difference. Last year, the year before, we spent several weeks really landing on this point, trying to make this clear. There is a big difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament, that's before Jesus. The Old Testament specifically deals with God's relationship with one nation, one group of people, the Israelites. And so in that Old Testament, we learn about an old covenant or an old agreement. The Old Testament is the story of this old agreement between God and one nation, the Israelites. And this old covenant sets us up for a new covenant that follows, okay? And so we've got an old covenant, and then Jesus ushers in the new covenant. Now, the new covenant is a better covenant, and it's for all people. It's God's agreement, God's covenant between himself and all of humankind. Of course, you need the old before you can have the new, because the old sets up the new, okay? Does that all make sense? Not so much? That's okay. We'll figure it out as we go. I got a thumbs up. Oh, great. That's good. So the old covenant sets us up for the new covenant. This matters. This matters because we're reading the book. Okay, take our favorite book, Leviticus, for example. We read the book of Leviticus, and we read about the laws that God gave to a specific group of people at a specific time. So there are laws like, hey, you can't eat shellfish. And some people read that and say, well, I want to be able to eat shellfish. Like, wait, you can, because that doesn't apply to you, right? That's an old covenant, an old agreement between God and a group of people, and they aren't you, okay? The people that God made this agreement with is not us. So to know the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Next point, choose a reading plan. What's that old saying? If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Have you heard that, right? If you fail to plan, then you're planning to fail. Just choose a plan. It doesn't have to be an app. It doesn't have to be a program. Just say, okay, I'm going to read the book of Matthew. Just make a decision. And I'm going to read it one chapter every day, Monday through Friday, taking the weekends off. Whatever your plan is, just make some kind of a plan. You don't need to provide you with a plan. There are so many out there, so many options. Pick up a Bible. Just make a decision what you're going to do. All right, I'm going to start with Genesis. Fine, great. Just make a plan and stick to that plan. Next point, ask the 5W questions, all right? So you're sitting down, you've made your plan, you're opening up, you say, okay, I'm going to start with Matthew. Ask yourself the 5W questions. When was this book written? That's significant. Again, was this a New Testament or is this Old Testament? When was this written in the timeline? Did you realize, I didn't realize this for a long time, did you realize that this is not laid out in chronological order? It's not. I kind of assumed that it was as a kid. Didn't you assume that as a kid? Well, shouldn't this be in order? It's not. It's not in order. So when in the timeline? What's God up to during this timeline? When was it written? What kind of book am I reading? Is this a biography? Is this a letter? Is this some wisdom literature, right? Is this what? Is it history? What am I reading? Because that helps you understand. Know when it was written, know what kind of book you were reading. And listen, a decent study Bible will answer all those questions for you. Be able to give you an idea of when, and give you an idea of what kind of a book you're reading. Who? As in, who wrote the thing, right? There are some books of the Bible, we don't know who wrote them. A lot of books, we do know who wrote them. The New Testament is mostly letters, and it's okay, that's the what. Most of them written by Paul. And so that's the what, and that's the who. A letter by Paul, right? Little tip for you. If a book of the Bible is named after a person, that book was written to that person or by that person, okay? So Matthew was written by... Oh, someone was bold, right? And so you know that, all right? We referenced 2 Timothy for the past 2 weeks, and so that was actually written by Paul to... You guys know it already. See that? See how this is? We can do this, all right? So it's what, when, who, to whom, okay? So who wrote it and who were they writing to? Is this Moses writing to all of Israel? Just keep that in mind, because you're not a part of Israel, right? Is this Paul writing to Timothy? Well, you're not Timothy, but you're a follower of Jesus Christ, so you have some things in common with Timothy, so there are plenty of principles that you can live out based on that book. And then why? Is there a special occasion? All right, a lot of Paul's letters are dealing with, okay, there's some specific issue in this church in Corinth. I'm going to write a letter addressing these issues that are going on. Is there an occasion for this book? Something going on that necessitated this being written, okay? So those are your 5W questions, and here's the thing. If you do your homework, you set a plan, you get a decent study Bible, you answer those 5 questions, and you're reading, and you still don't understand, then ask the questions, right? You know, sometimes we Christians are kind of, I don't know, methodical, and okay, let me check this box off. I've done my reading for the day. I don't understand it, but I'm check, check, check. No. If you don't understand, take the time to ask the questions, and you can even... Check this out. You can even ask your pastor. Isn't that something? You can even ask, right? You can even... Now, I can't guarantee I'm going to know the answer, right? But I can help you look for one, right? Go ahead. That's part of the reason why you have a church to begin with, is so you're not on your own to understand this thing. And so that's what you can do. And so here we go. Simple explanation. How to go about reading the Bible for yourself. This is important, guys. This is worth doing. I'm looking out at a group of people, and a lot of you have come to the conclusion that the Bible is the Word of God. I say, great. If you've arrived at that conclusion, I know that it's time that we study it, take a closer look at it, right? We need this, because we need our North Star. We need our North Star. We need to be able to separate out what's truth and what's lies and what should we pursue and what's righteous and what's not. We need our North Star. Now, I've observed, and maybe you've seen this too, that churches can fall into one of two extreme categories. There are the doing churches, and then there are the knowing churches, okay? These are two extreme categories that churches can fall into. In doing churches, they're all about the doing. What do we need to do? Who needs help? Who needs a meal that made for them? Who needs some support right now? Who needs their leaves raked? Who needs a coat? Well, I'm going to buy a coat. Who needs? What can we do? What can we do? What can we do in our community? Awesome. Doing churches are awesome. We need doers. Then on the other extreme, you've got the knowing churches, where knowing is where they put the emphasis. We need to know what the Bible says, and so we're going to gather together on Sunday mornings, and the preacher's going to open up the Bible, and we're going to go word by word, verse by verse, and he's going to explain it to us, and then we're going to have Bible study on Monday night. Tuesday night is men's group Bible study. Wednesday is women's group Bible study. Thursday night is couples group Bible study. Bible, Bible, Bible. No, no, no. The knowing churches. Knowing churches are great. To get into the Word of God, to study the Word of God, to be able to know the Word of God and know the path of righteousness. We've got the doing churches, and we've got the knowing churches. What kind of church are we? Oh, what was that? Did someone say hybrid? Are we a doing church or are we a knowing church? What's going on? By the way, those of you watching online, there seems to be some disagreement in the group here. I'm looking out at a lot of doers. Good. Good. You know why? This is my opinion. You can disagree. I believe the doing is more important than the knowing.
But we can't do what needs to be done if we don't know what needs to be done, right? We can't do the doing until we know the knowing. Don't bother writing that down because it won't make any sense if you read it later on, right? We have to know before we can do. Let me put it this way. We have to be knowers of the word before we can live out the word. We have to know the path of righteousness before we can live out righteousness, right? We have to know so that we can do. We need that. And so let's go ahead. Who said hybrid? Let's be the hybrid. Let's not choose one or the other. Let's prioritize together. Let's prioritize the knowing so that we as a church can do what needs to be done in our community and around the world. Let's pray on that. Father, thank you. Thank you for revealing yourself to us through your word. Thank you for revealing human nature to us through your word. Thank you for giving us this North Star, a consistent point showing us your path of righteousness. Father God, I pray that we would be a knowing church and a doing church. Let our doing be informed by your word. Father God, I ask that you would give us what it takes to stay in your word, to push through when we have questions, to ask questions as they come up. Father God, we're praying for revelation. Show us your will. Show us your way. Inform us by the power of your scripture so that we can do what needs to be done in this community. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.